From GPB News, this is On Second Thought. I'm Adam Ragusea in today for Celeste Headlee. Has the fact that it's a new year sunk in for you yet? Are you battling with the instinct to try to reevaluate and improve everything in your life? Well, if it wasn't broken, don't fix it. That is why you'll still hear what worked well for this show in 2015, right here in 2016, like our occasional series. In fact, two of them will make an appearance on today's show. On Set in Georgia walks us through some of the most exciting projects the film industry has brought to the state. And, of course, the Georgia Playlist is our attempt to create a quintessential collection of the best music that Georgia has to offer. Speaking of music, Celeste Headlee asked on a recent show for your ideas of bands and artists that we should have our eye on in 2016. Henry Dean tweeted us about a metal band called Isotopes. Actually, it's his band. Okay, Henry, let's have a listen. Nice little ditty. If you have any suggestions to help us expand our coverage of Georgia music, we do want to hear them. Call us at 404-500-9457. That's 404-500-9457. Also on Twitter at OST Talk and Facebook.com/On Second Thought Radio. We might feature your comment or your band on the show. On any given day, there's probably a film or TV crew working somewhere in Georgia, but what are they working on? Let's go on set in Georgia.
Here we go. Movie!
Made in Georgia!
We make films.
Movies?
Let's go to the movies.
Let's go see the stars.
And joining me this morning is Atlanta Journal-Constitution reporter Jennifer Brett. She also writes for the AJC's Atlanta Buzz blog. Jennifer, welcome back and Happy New Year.
Hello there. Happy New Year to you.
All last year, we talked to you about films and TV shows being filmed here in Georgia, and production companies, of course, are choosing Georgia over other states in large part because of the ample tax credits offered here. An example of that is the recent Dolly Parton biopic, Coat of Many Colors, that premiered on NBC last month. And while that movie was, of course, set in Tennessee, the producers chose to shoot most of the film in Georgia just because of the incentives. Jennifer, do we expect this trend to continue into 2016?
Oh, my goodness, yes. And far beyond, I would suspect. Georgia has very warmly embraced the film industry with their tasty little tax credits. You can come down here and save a bunch of money, make your budget stretch a lot farther than it would otherwise. The state has recently launched the Georgia Film Academy, in fact, to, you know, to give residents of the state of Georgia an opportunity to, you know, hone those skills to become part of that industry. Jeffrey Stepakoff, who is a film professor at the Kennesaw State University, is going to be director of that new initiative that's going to set up shop at the Pinewood Studios down in Fayette County. This is where Ant-Man was headquartered and more recently Captain America Civil War. So, yes, I suspect the film industry is here to stay.
Yeah, in some states or jurisdictions that have courted the film industry, there's been backlash, and then the industry moves on like a swarm of locusts onto the next nice green field. But it looks like there's no backlash or any end to the party yet so far in Georgia. Yeah. So a ton of films hitting theaters this year that were already shot here in the state. One of them is Ride Along 2, starring Kevin Hart and Ice Cube, comes out later this month. Let's hear a clip from the trailer.
All the new dealers in Atlanta are getting supplied through Antonio Pope in Miami. You need to get me something on this guy.
2 days tops.
So get a team together and fix this.
Jennifer, what is this film about?
Oh, I cannot wait for Ride Along 2. Kevin Hart and Ice Cube team up once again. They are brothers in the law, as they say this go around. It's funny to see Ice Cube playing the, you know, straight lace, you know, down to earth voice of reason, and Kevin Hart is his outrageous sidekick. They're both cops. That's right. On the case. As the clip indicated, they're hunting down a drug lord. This movie filmed largely in Atlanta and then also some in Miami. So while Kevin Hart was here filming, he was wearing these really lively, colorful, Miami-friendly outfits. So you're really going to want to look out for that. Great to see them back in action. I'm hoping they'll come down here on a tour stop. They were in Charlotte not too long ago with Cam Newton teaming up to promote the movie. So hopefully they'll stop through here. If not, certainly looking forward to seeing them.
Ice Cube as straight man. That's right.
That's
along,
right.
Too. Another movie shot in Georgia that's coming out this year is The Boss, starring Melissa McCarthy. Here is a clip from that trailer.
My name is Michelle Darnell, and I am the wealthiest woman in America.
You're under arrest for insider trading.
Michelle, don't struggle. Son of a...
You're bankrupt. All your accounts have been frozen.
Claire, get me a new lawyer.
You don't have any money, you stupid ginger.
Ginger, tell us about this latest Melissa McCarthy vehicle.
Looking forward to this one. It filmed as Michelle Darnell while it was up and running down here in Atlanta. It's going to be released as The Boss. Here. It's you're really going to want to look out for Crescent Avenue. That doubles as Michigan Avenue in Chicago. When the movie comes out, keep your eyes peeled. It's always kind of fun to see if you can spot Atlanta landmarks when movies are filmed here but set elsewhere. Interestingly, Michelle Darnell was being filmed here, or The Boss, I guess it is now, was filmed here while Spy premiered in Atlanta. So we've got some fun pictures of Melissa McCarthy at an Atlanta premiere of Spy. And of course, she's already picked up a Golden Globes nomination for that one. So good luck to her, and can't wait to see The Boss.
Yeah, she's hilarious and very likable, very, very good, easy to root for. Another film hitting theaters is Mother's Day. This stars Jennifer Aniston, Kate Hudson, Julia Roberts. What's this all about?
Yeah,
that's a lot of star power.
Exactly. Mother's Day might be called something else when it comes out. There's another movie also called Mother's Day, also coming out right around the same time. So pencil this one in. It might be released as something else. But for right now, it's known as Mother's Day. It's a bunch of different narratives that intersect, sort of like Love Actually, only around Mother's Day instead of Christmas. And I definitely want to encourage everyone to support this one because it stars a young Atlanta actor named Owen Vaccaro. He is 10 years old. Recently, he was seen in Daddy's Home, which was the Christmas Day release comedy starring Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell. Great to see, you know, a young actor getting his start in the movie business from right here in Atlanta.
Yeah, and just to reiterate, Owen is 10.
10 years old.
Starring alongside Julia Roberts, Jennifer Aniston. So good for you, Owen. We are speaking with AJC reporter Jennifer Brett about movies being filmed around Georgia. Moving on to a more somber note, a long-awaited biopic about the late rapper Tupac Shakur is currently in production. Here is Tupac in a 1992 interview.
What the rap audience ain't ready for is a real person. You know what I want to say, a real N-I-G-G-A. I'm coming at him 100% real. I ain't compromising Nathan. Anybody that talk about me got problems. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be straight up, like if I was a street person. That's how I'm coming at the whole world, and I'm being real about it, and I'm going to grow with my music.
Tupac, of course, was shot and killed in 1996, left behind an incredible legacy. It's kind of shocking that no one has made a big movie about him until now. Jennifer, what do we know about this movie that's being filmed in Atlanta about his life? Of course, Tupac was raised in East Harlem, not in Atlanta.
He does have an Atlanta connection, though. He's got family here. Years ago, some of his papers were actually put on display at the Atlanta University Center, so there's certainly a connection here. All Eyes on Me is the movie based on his life. It's been under discussion for years now, so great to see it finally coming together. Demetrius Shipp Jr. is going to play the legendary rapper in this movie. He is a dead ringer for Tupac. So I think when the movie comes out, people are going to definitely respond in a big way. Great to see this finally coming together. And although you note it is a somber topic, great to see it coming together here in Atlanta.
Yeah. A trailer just came out for a comedy called The Nice Guys, starring Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe. It was filmed in Atlanta. Here is a clip from that trailer.
I'm not in the yellow pages. If you got trouble with someone, you might ask around for me, Jackson Healy.
Look at the bright side. Nobody got hurt.
People got hurt.
I'm saying I think they died quickly, though, so I don't think that they got hurt. Come on!
Okay, Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe. Jennifer, what is this film, The Nice Guys, about, and where was it filmed?
I cannot wait for this movie. This comes out in the summertime, about July. It was set in Los Angeles circa 1977 and filmed in Atlanta circa 2014. So they really had to do some digging to find some relic vintage automobiles to populate the sets. And then they were also wearing these, you know, vintage threads. I have a fun photo that I posted on AJC.com of Ryan Gosling at the Buckhead Diner. And he's got this big luxuriant mustache from, you know, circa 1977. Mm. These guys are undercover detectives and they are on the case. It's kind of a noir gallows humor type of comedy. As the trailer noted, some people come to grief. One scene that you're going to want to look out for is a party scene. This was filmed at Dallas Austin's house. It's this retro fabulous mansion in Sandy Springs and very nicely fit the bill for a groovy 1977 era party. So definitely keep your eye out for that. Comes out in July. Can't wait to see Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe on the big screen.
Speaking of summertime, reboot fever in Hollywood and has now extended to Baywatch. There's going to be a film reboot of the television show Baywatch, shot in Savannah next year. What do we know about it?
Okay, this is Zac Efron and Dwayne The Rock Johnson, both of whom who have filmed in the Atlanta area before. Zac Efron teamed up with Robert De Niro for Dirty Grandpa, which I keep hoping is going to get a new name, not looking like it will. That comes out later this spring. That was filmed down in the Savannah area as well, actually out on Tybee Island. More recently, Zach teamed up with Seth Rogen for Neighbors 2. That was filmed in the metro area as well. In both of those movies, Zach did not appear to be wearing a whole lot in any of the pictures that I saw. And I suspect that we might be able to see more of his abs in Baywatch. He's going to team up with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who, of course, has filmed the Fast and Furious 7. Goodness gracious. 7.
Yeah.
Losing track of all of them here in Atlanta. So they're going to be, this is going to be a movie adaptation of the beloved Beach Babe series Baywatch. So it'll be interesting to see what they come up with.
Yes, and though Zac Efron is a fit young man, I don't think anyone would want to stand next to The Rock in a bathing suit.
Yeah, it's
so
going to be
good
interesting.
Luck to him.
They'll both be pumping some iron. Interestingly, there was a funny story that came out right after Neighbors 2 wrapped. Seth Rogen made a television appearance, and he was talking about how during the breaks they would, you know, get pizza and stuff, and then poor Zac Efron could only just sit there and watch everybody else eat, and I guess he probably had a protein shake and then did some more sit-ups.
On the other hand, he gets to be Zac Efron while Seth Rogen is just Seth Rogen. So on the television front, Empire fans might be excited to know that there is another music-themed show by Empire co-creator Lee Daniels that is currently in the works, and it is being shot in Atlanta. Jennifer, what do we know about that? That sounds really exciting.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this one. Of course, Empire is just a phenomenally successful series, and so interesting to see what this one is going to feature. This is going to be called either Star or Hustle, not quite sure yet. They're still kind of working on it. Queen Latifah is teaming up with this project. I got a great photo of her in this flaming red wig. She looks marvelous. Can't wait to see this one come together.
Finally, on a sad note, R&B singer Natalie Cole died on New Year's Eve. She, of course, was the daughter of the late singer Nat King Cole. Jennifer, in the last 20 seconds that we have here, I understand that Natalie Cole had an Atlanta connection.
Her uncle Freddie Cole lives here. He's also a singer in his own right. Unfortunately, it was a year of loss for the Cole family. He is also mourning the loss of his late wife, who struggled with an illness for a long time. So best wishes to the Cole family.
Been speaking with Atlanta Journal-Constitution reporter Jennifer Brett. She writes for the AJC's Atlanta Buzz blog and appears to be everywhere at all times with her camera. Well done, Jennifer. Thanks for coming in.
Good to see you.
This is On Second Thought. As college students head back to campus this month, they are returning to tests, school activities, and for some, well, Greek life.
I don't know if you guys are aware, but Delta Psi is simply responsible for the most epic party moments in history.
No, I'm sorry. Sorry, we're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody!
Toga, 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 toga.
That, of course, is the stereotype, but some University of Georgia students are expanding the traditional idea of fraternities. If you were to take Greek life and mix in some Silicon Valley, you would have something like Eta Lambda Chi. Those Greek letters spell out H-A-X, hacks. and they are on the outside of a house for UGA computer science majors. Eta Lambda Chi is not an official fraternity, and it's only been around since the start of the school year, but it's already built a strong brotherhood. Joining me to talk about the house are two of its residents, UGA students Caleb Adams and Jacob Stewart. You are both still on winter break, so we really appreciate you taking some time to chat with us. Welcome.
Hey.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Jacob, I understand that the Hacks house was your idea. How did it come about?
Yeah, so it started about sometime last year. I had started to become way more focused on my career and the goals and everything I was trying to achieve, and I really wanted to be surrounded by people with similar mindsets. So I went about starting to recruit a group of guys who would like to live together and work on projects and work towards these goals the following year.
If I were to visit the house, what would I see? Togas at computers?
Well, first off, as you mentioned, we got our nice hack sign hanging on the front above the porch. But then when you walk in, you're going to see all kinds of stuff. So we got a lot of circuit boards and electronics and soldering irons and different computers and whiteboards lining the walls and writing on the windows and all sorts of things conductive to hacking, and hacking in the sense of creating too, not the traditional sense that many people think of.
Sure, yeah, not the criminal sense.
Right.
So as we mentioned, this is not a formal fraternity. It's not recognized by the university. But do you have formalized admittance requirements? What does a person have to be to get in the house?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So this is our first semester, actually, where we've all lived together. And we haven't had anyone say that they're going to be leaving next year yet. A lot of us are going to be sticking around, whether it's to complete school or continue working on some of the companies that we've been a part of over the last year or two. So the situation when someone's leaving hasn't come up yet. So that kind of lends itself to we haven't formally thought through the next recruiting the next people to live there yet. But I would imagine there would be some application process and some type of system they have to go through in order to be accepted.
But everyone in the house is involved in a startup in some way.
Right, yeah. They've all worked with startups or have side projects or will be working at a pretty reputable company over the summer as well.
Caleb, you are joining us via Skype, tech-savvy young man that you are. Why did you want to join the Hacks house?
Well, Jacob approached me about this shortly after we had competed in a hackathon together. And actually, Jacob and I were part of the group from UGA who won UGA's first hackathon ever. And so after that, I thought Jacob was pretty cool, and so I thought it was a good idea.
What is the computer scene like at UGA when we think of Georgia Tech in Atlanta as really being the epicenter of the academic tech world in this part of the country?
Well, I'd say what's nice about it is it's growing so fast. So going back to the Hacker House, we actually went to Georgia Tech's hackathon this year. I guess that was last year now. And two of the teams from the top eight were from the Hacker House at Georgia Tech's hackathon. Yeah. So, and that's something that would not have happened previously. And so it's nice to see how fast the community is growing. And it's really exciting to be a part of something like that.
And the Hack House, in fact, started UGA's hackathon this year, right?
That is correct. Yeah, that's Jacob that did that, yes.
Caleb, yeah. What are your particular career ambitions?
I particularly like flight software, so I'm very into designing systems for spacecraft. I was fortunate enough to work for NASA over the summer, which was nice. And
cool.
When I came back to UGA, I really wanted to continue that. So now UGA has a CubeSat program, and we're going to be sending CubeSat, which is a small satellite, no larger than a Coke can, into space. And so that's one of the projects that the Hacker House is working on.
That's fantastic. I'm speaking with University of Georgia computer science students Caleb Adams and Jacob Stewart. They have formed an informal fraternity at UGA called Eta Lambda Chi. In Greek letters, that spells H-A-X, as in hacks, computer hacking, get it. Another project that students at the house have participated in was this annual hackathon. Jacob, can you just be a little more specific about what that entailed?
Yeah, so the hackathon is a great thing, and especially for working towards our overall goal of developing a stronger community in Athens, a computer science community, that is. And so that was a 36-hour event on the weekend of October 23rd last year. And we brought out students from all over the Southeast, about a little over 200 in total. We brought in sponsors from the likes of State Farm and Venmo and several other notable companies. And they helped us put on this event where students worked for, like I said, 36 hours straight on a wide variety of projects. At the end of the event, we awarded a first, second, third place prize and gave out close to $7,000 in prizes to those winners.
Now, gentlemen, the paucity of women in computer science and, in fact, most STEM fields is a well-documented and very big problem. It would seem on its face like forming a fraternity, a house of guys, to focus on computer science at UGA does nothing but exacerbate that problem.
Well, I'll tell you what, Adam, for me personally, it is an issue. I think that if we are to tackle this issue, what we should do is expand. And that's part of the reason why we're not an official fraternity, because we can do things such as that when we choose to. Jacob has mentioned expanding throughout the neighborhood and creating more houses. And I think that it would be great if we could include women in those houses as well. And that's exactly what we would want to do. Being raised by my mom and my sister, I do feel very passionately about this issue. So,
yeah. So, Jacob, so describe the physical scene where the house is. You're at the end of a cul-de-sac, and you're hoping to sort of make that into a whole cluster of similar houses.
Right, yeah. So the place we're at is about 98% students. It's a pretty large neighborhood complex over off of Millage, which is, for those who aren't familiar with Athens, is the street in which most Greek houses are on. But we'd like to, yeah, like you mentioned, we're on a cul-de-sac, and we'd like to expand out our little personal hack community to the other houses along the cul-de-sac and the surrounding area. And I've talked to a couple friends recently about doing so.
While there's no women in your house, of course, right now, it is a diverse group of people. What are the backgrounds, the nationalities that you have in the house?
Mm-hmm. So we have myself. I was born on the West Coast. I got some Hispanic influence in my background. And then we also have another member of the house. His name is AJ. He was actually born in India, and he moved here at a young age. And he's been here working on technology things ever since. And then the rest of us are from various parts throughout the U.S.
So what do you guys have coming up at the house this semester? What's exciting? Is everybody working on getting that Coke can satellite up into space, and how will that be achieved?
Well, yes, we are, actually. I've been working on the development schedule for that recently, and we're going to be designing and building a satellite. Not in the house, though. We have space in the physics building at UGA for that, which is nice because that's that seems more appropriate. But yes, that is what we will be doing. Jacob has mentioned that we should build a radio tower in the house to communicate with the satellite. I think that's a great idea. It's just another project for us to do.
How will it get into orbit?
Well, right now, we don't have a scheduled launch. We are waiting to hear back for some extra funding from NASA, which would guarantee us a launch. But we are confident that we could launch on a rocket within 3 years from now. And essentially, it would be kind of junk on the side of whatever else is actually going up there, because the CubeSats are so small, we can just kind of stick them to the sides. They're on the inside of the fairings, of course, but stick them on the inside of the fairings, and they shoot off before the primary payloads of rockets are delivered.
Oh, that's terribly exciting. Caleb and Jacob, as we mentioned, HACS is not an official fraternity at UGA, but something that fraternities traditionally do, especially here in the South, is community service. Have you guys given any thought to how members of Eta Lambda Chi could give back?
Yeah, I think some of us are doing that already. One of our members teaches iOS development freely to other college students.
Cool.
And that's part of one of our clubs I'm a part of. I'm president of the ACM as well. The hackathon was very much so a community service event. No one was paid for doing that, and that was almost a full-time job for the weeks leading up to it. I give open office hours through a local tech incubator called For Athens, so people looking to learn about how to get involved in the tech scene or just want general questions about how to go about building something, I offer my time to help them as well. But I think it would be cool to look into what it looked like to reach out to some of the public schools in the area too, and see if they can start developing any programs for teaching these kids how to code at a younger age.
Yeah, that's great. Caleb, lastly, does the house have any ability to counter the stereotype that, computer guys are nerds? You do have parties, right?
Oh, we definitely do have parties. We have had a few very successful parties already. But, you know, it's I don't think being a nerd is nearly as bad as it used to be. I think now even very famous celebrities buy fake glasses to seem nerdy. Because it's becoming cool. I mean, when you look around, all the things you love were developed by nerds. So
we're all about nerds here on Public Radio as well.
Which is
and
great.
That's why we enjoyed having you guys here. I've been speaking with University of Georgia students Caleb Adams and Jacob Stewart. They live at Eta Lambda Chi, also known as HAX. Thanks for talking to us, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Time now to add two more tracks to our Georgia playlist. It is our regular series where we ask people connected to the music industry to share two songs that they think are quintessentially Georgia. But there are a couple of rules. First, their picks have to be written or performed by someone with a strong Georgia connection. And two, it cannot be one of their own songs. So for today's installment, a local Atlanta music producer tells us why he thinks the rock scene is still going strong in Georgia.
I'm trying to think.
My name is Chris Farmer. I run Strange One Records out of Atlanta, and I manage the band Inviolet, also out of Atlanta, Georgia. My first pick for the Georgia playlist is the song Deadbeat Club by the B-52s. Place I was growing up was kind of right in between the city and the country, and that's the vibe I get from this song largely. Many of the things that they mention, like finding the 25-cent beer, going skinny dipping and stuff, those are the same things I was doing with my friends, you know, even 10 years after the song was written. The B-52's songs, I think, have a very timeless kind of quality. They use their own vocabulary. They kind of struck a balance between all these things from the past that always had very futuristic elements as well. One thing that I liked in this song in particular, they used the phrase big time, which my grandmother used to say that, and she was the only person I ever heard say that, but I still like to incorporate the words that my family members use. I still say, I reckon, I'm stove up, so I appreciated that. My other choice for the Georgia playlist is a song by Kaiser Soze. It was an Atlanta band in the early 2000s. The song is called 24/7. Members had been in different bands around the Atlanta scene and pulled a lot of different styles together, rock and jazz, and kind of melded them all together. They weren't really around for a very long period. I don't think it was more than 3 or 4 years, but I thought they made a big impact on the Atlanta scene and probably influenced a lot of musicians. I know they influenced me. Their bass player was very inspiring, made me really want to try to bring my playing up to the next level to be competitive. I think that it's great that we have so many different styles. Atlanta was known for the Southern rock. Now it's known for a lot of the rap, but there is still a really strong metal scene. It's a little more underground.
Nice picks. That was Chris Farmer from Strange One Records here in Atlanta. And we want to hear your picks for the Georgia playlist. You can tweet them to us at OST Talk. Or you can leave us a voicemail at 404-500-9457. This is On Second Thought. A condominium complex in DeKalb County is attracting international attention for its deplorable conditions. Brannan Hill is home to hundreds of refugees and immigrants, but a recent article in Vice describes widespread problems with crime, drugs, prostitution, gang activity. Residents and community leaders have called on local officials to clean up the complex. And one of these community leaders is Omar Shike. He is the executive director of the Somali American Community Center in nearby Clarkston. Many of the people living in Brannan Hill are Somali or of other East African descent. Good morning, Omar.
Good morning, Adam.
Could you just paint a picture for us? What does Brannan Hill look like?
Brannan Hill is a condominium of single families, three-bedroom, two-bedroom, and one-bedroom. Mainly lived by Ethiopians and Somalians. They immigrants. They are all U.S. citizens now. Both these homes cash. But also there is an African-American live there and other community who are American who live there. It has become more immigrant condominium.
But physically, it looks sort of like it's falling down, right?
There's a lot of problems, and mainly the problem is caused by many factors. So one of the factors is that the mismanagement of corrupted association involved also caused by people were not paying their association fees and just things complicated when you know the housing market went down, the bank, sure, people defaulted their banks, and all of that complicated some of the owners who have invested a lot their subdivision, and that has complicated badly.
Yeah, you mentioned, Omar, this is a condominium complex. People have not been paying their condo association fees, and part of the problem here is that there's a dispersal of responsibility. There's no one owner that the authorities can go after regarding the code violations or anything like that. The people who are living there now, are what percentage of them would you reckon are owner-occupiers, people who own their condos versus people who are renting from condo owners or even squatting?
It's mixed. There are some who left there, who owned the place and left. There are some people who are renters. I would say it's 375 units there. About 80 units is just people who live there. 21 blocks that people live, 11 blocks is even abandoned. Nobody lives there, which right. means that only two-thirds is habitable. Mm-hmm. And some of the county owns some houses there. I don't know how they own.
The county nobody's owns some, there. You said?
Yeah, the DeKalb County owns some of the houses they took over, and nobody lives there. And so that has complicated things. Now problems are drugs, crime, and everything you mentioned. And it's very, families are trapped there. There are children, women who live there who always paid their taxes, work hard, wanted to buy their own house cheaper for rent, and now they are trapped. There is debris everywhere, burning houses. That, you know, it's awful.
Yeah. Yeah, that to me is what makes this story remarkable. You know, recent immigrants inhabiting slums, that's a story that's as old as immigration in the United States. But what we have here are some immigrants who really tried to get a piece of the American dream, who tried to buy a condo in this building, and the complex has just melted around their ears. Omar, a lot of these residents, a lot of the owner-occupiers are people from East Africa, from Somalia, where there's been terrible war. How do the conditions at this apartment complex compare to those conditions that they were fleeing?
Well, I mean, you can never compare fleeing for your life in a war-torn situation than a Brannan here where, you know, at least still they have a roof. I mean, the comparison I heard is just, no. I mean, most of the people who are comparing, they haven't been to a civil war.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not even close. But
all things in
but context. In American standard, I mean, it's awful. And one of the things we are trying to do is take the debris out. There are burnt homes. People took money
take
for...
Take the debris out.
Yeah. There are burnt homes that people took their insurance money. We cannot find them. We are talking to the DeKalb County, help us clean this thing. There's not enough association fee that's coming in to clean this thing.
Yeah, not enough in association fees, and so you need some outside help.
We need some outside help to clean that place, and that's what I'm working in. Find a way at least to clean those burned homes that are just, you know, making things environmentally unsafe, you know.
Right.
Or maybe find a long solution. Worry about people who live there and find a temporary shelter or some kind of public housing to get them out of there.
Right.
These
We're
are
talking about Brannan Hill.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. We're talking about Brannan Hill. It is a condo complex in an unincorporated area of DeKalb County outside of Atlanta that has fallen into a terrible state of disrepair and recently attracted some international media attention. People calling it one of the worst places to live in the country. That may or may not be an overstatement, but we are talking to Omar Shikeh, who is the executive director of the Somali American Community Center in Clarkston, which is nearby Brannan Hill. And many of the residents of Brannan Hill, many of the condo owner occupiers are people of Somali or Ethiopian descent. Stay with us, Omar. Let's go ahead and talk to someone with the county, DeKalb County Commissioner Sharon Barnes Sutton. She represents the area where Brannan Hill is located, and she's working on this issue. Sharon, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
This Vice article that started this whole conversation says that the problems at Brannan Hill constitute, quote, a result of several decades of institutional failure. Now, we reached out to the reporter of that Vice article. His name is George Chidi, and here's what he says he meant by that, institutional failure.
As these things started to, appear, a properly engaged county government would have been getting feedback from the community, stepping in, asking what's going on, how do we help, how do we stop this from happening? And the fact that it's been, we're 7 years into her term, and she's only now getting around to trying to deal with this is an indictment of her lack of, community involvement.
And George, is there talking about you, Commissioner Sutton. Now, we must note that journalist George Chidi serves on the Pine Lake City Council in DeKalb County. Pine Lake does not include Brannan Hill, but nonetheless, it is pretty unusual for a journalist to simultaneously be an elected official. That could be considered a conflict of interest. But Vice is, of course, an unconventional news organization. And putting all of that aside, Sharon, what do you say in response to Chidi's allegations of institutional governmental failure at the local level resulting in these deplorable conditions at Brannan Hill?
I think his statement is representative of his unconventional take on things. He doesn't understand the county government what our abilities are and what our responsibilities are. And it's just really unfortunate that he didn't come in and try to help us, you know, rather than just criticizing what was done. What he just said is totally misleading. The county has worked on this for many years. However, this is a function of our county administration, the operations side of government. However, there have been many attempts to address the myriad of problems with Brandon Hills. Mm-hmm. And what I've done differently is I stepped in and created a task force with individuals who had different skill sets, different levels of opportunity, resources, and responsibility. I was able to do that because I had the cooperation of our interim CEO. Otherwise, I would not be able to form a task force with county government department heads because I'm part of the legislative branch. We do policy and
We'll come back budgets. To the task force momentarily, but if we could just try to understand what the challenges are a little bit more. You know, one might look at a building like we see at Brandon Hill and see, you know, whole units are burned out, things are falling apart, really obvious code violations. What are the administrative stumbling blocks to coming in there and maybe even condemning parts of the complex?
Well, there are many stumbling blocks. For instance, those buildings are the responsibility of the property owners, and the county has to abide by state law. Therefore, we cannot go in and use taxes to take care of a responsibility of a property owner.
Yeah, and as we mentioned, it's a condo complex. There's not one owner. There's many owners.
Yes, there are 136 standing units. Only 63 are occupied, 73 are rented. There are 71 vacant units and 162 burnt units. So the county couldn't just go in and just tear those buildings down. Their property, the owners have rights and responsibilities that are given to them by state law. We send code enforcement in. They can go in and cite the owner. They have to go to court. Everything has to be adjudicated. At this point, even citing them is difficult. You can cite them. However, you have to serve them personally. Most
of
them
aren't
there.
Are MIA, right? Yeah.
That's right. That's absolutely correct.
So, now that said, you know, so that's the code enforcement side of it.
Mm-hmm.
But to bring it back to George Chidi with Vice, who started all of this, George told us when he spoke to us that the lack of police presence at Brandon Hill is also an example of a place where local government should have stepped in.
More than just code enforcement, you know, the drug enforcement that actually needs to happen, because there is open air drug dealing happening there regularly. And I would have expected to see a unit parked right there, ready to arrest people or real teams. And, you know, that's not happening.
So DeKalb County Commissioner Sharon Barnes-Sutton, what do you say to George there? Yes, it's very challenging to try to find property owners who are MIA, but when you have open-air drug dealing going on, as has been widely reported at Brandon Hill, why can't you just send the cops in and break it up?
We absolutely send our police officers in. They patrol that that area regularly. But as we all know, that when the police show up, those guys scatter.
Yeah.
And we cannot have someone sit there 24 hours, 7 days a week, but they patrol regularly. They make arrests. We have regular reports on the incidents there. So there is a very strong police presence there.
Yeah. If people go to George Chidi's piece at Vice, he's got a photo of a mirror that has been positioned like a, you know, a bed mirror that's been positioned at the end of one of the parking lots. And the caption on the photo reads, it's there so that people who are dealing drugs in the parking lot can see whether or not a police officer is approaching. It's really, really quite a sight. Let me go back to Omar Shikeh, who is the executive director of the Somali American Community Center in Clarkston, is trying to work on something to improve conditions for the East African owner-occupiers that are living in Brandon Hill and dealing with all of this around them. Omar, are you in any way heartened by the county's new task force and their involvement in this issue?
Well, I mean, to begin with, I mean, we have been working with the county for the last 10 years, the development and all of that. But the task force that Sharon's talking, number one, I don't know. I mean, she just mentioned that last meeting we have, we don't know who these task force are. I don't know what they are doing. We're not involved in any way. The residents are not involved. So that's one piece. Second piece is I understand the issue is bigger. We need to all come together and find a way, because you can blame the county, you can blame the owners. The owners, most of them, I know about 80 units of Somalia are still paying their fees, but there are
still
issues that they cannot do. That their condominium fees, still there are people who are paying, and they're just paying to take the trash and stuff like that. The place has become a dumping place. People are bringing trash from outside.
Sure.
There's lack of security because the gates are open, the drug dealing, the burn house. If we just clean those debris out there and all the burned house, I don't know how we're going to do it, because we need an association. There is no association. We need the legal department. DeKalb County owns some of those burned homes. The banks own some of those bins homes. So we have to come together and find a way out of this, because
sure,
people have invested money. If you go inside of these apartments, you see marble, you see nice bathrooms.
Marble.
But we're not
yeah.
talking about that. We're talking about now, how can we get beyond this? And because our image as immigrants is hurting us, Brandon Hill.
Yeah,
the community is turn about it.
Well, Omar, let me with our remaining minute here, let me send it back to Commissioner Sutton. And I know that Commissioner Mr. Shikeh has said a lot of things there. I wonder if you could just focus us on what's one or two substantive things that you think that you might be able to do for the people of Brandon Hill.
OK, first, let me clarify. The county does not own any businesses there, any units there. There may be liens against some units because they did not pay their property taxes, but we do not own the buildings. What we are doing, I formed a comprehensive task force that includes the police department. The district attorney has sent over a special prosecutor, a county prosecutor. The solicitor's office is there. We have our county attorneys there. We have the mayor of Clarkston and the vice mayor, who is a member of that community. And he has been representing the community on the task force because he has relationships with many members of the communities. And it's not just Somalian, but there are other ethnic groups there as well.
Ten seconds, Sharon.
Okay. So we've come together and everybody brought their resource and expertise together to tackle all of the public safety issues, the ownership issues. We have someone from community development who will assist anyone who wants to move, will assist them in moving and will assist them.
And we hope
them.
That they'll get in touch. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. Sharon Barnes-Sutton is a DeKalb County Commissioner, represents the area where Brandon Hill is located, and we were speaking also to Omar Shikeh with the Somali American Community Center. That's it for On Second Thought today from GPB News. I'm Adam Ragusea. Celeste is back at you tomorrow. Have a great one.